What's your thoughts on this too? So Ohio State and Marshall, they've met twice, right? The first game was in 04, and it was a 55-yard field goal by Mike Nugent that proved to be a game winner for Ohio State, and a game that probably most people didn't expect to be that way. The second game was, what, like a 45-7 win by Ohio State over Marshall, and but it was in 2010, so it was vacated. Are we allowed to talk about that? I don't know. Tim will have the answers on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now.
I mean, seriously. Yes, we could talk about that. Nobody came up to anybody with the Men in Black flashy pen thing and said, "You will not remember this anymore." Click.
I don't ask Tim.
It's the stupidest thing.
Tim, are we like, am I not supposed to remember the game in 2010 because the NCAA told me to?
Who is this? I've never talked to you people before.
That's true. Who is this guy? I'm sorry.
Something happened to Andy, Tim. No, I'm worried about him.
Like, this whole vacated thing is the dumbest thing ever.
It might be the dumbest thing ever.
But for sure, when people look at your record over whatever time, and you broke NCAA rule or rules, and you were found guilty of it, there should be something there to denote that. Because you're in an organization, you're in a club, a fraternity, a loose gathering of people at a pub, whatever you want to call it. And you're expected to go by the rules, and when you get caught, yeah, maybe everybody does it. Maybe nobody does it except you. But the point is, when you get caught, you should have to pay whatever price you've agreed on as a member of the NCAA and probably voted on said penalties at one point.
Okay.
You should adhere to it.
Tim.
When people think, well, should you penalize the kids, the poor kids that come after that? You know what? How else do you really penalize a university? You're really penalizing university because they're supposed to have the wherewithal and the
education. That's right.
They're supposed to have things in place that don't allow you to cheat. You're supposed to have a compliance department. You're supposed to tell the truth when these guys ask you questions. I mean, NCAA, compelling thing they have when it comes to investigating truly, except for hearsay, et cetera, stuff they gather from the media and maybe do a little investigating on, is an interview with you. And when you decide, you know what, you're beneath me, I'm not going to interview, I'm going to the NFL or whatever else, then the school deserves to be penalized for that.
What if said violation is not a violation in the future? Should it be able to be expunged?
Okay, my great example of that is, I live on Davis Road here. This is the opposite example, but I live off Davis Road out here west of Hilliard, Ohio. And let's say the speed limit on my road, my little country road used to be, was 35 miles an hour, and I got a ticket for going 45.
Yes.
20 years ago. Okay?
Yes.
Now let's say they turned it into a 4-lane divided highway and the speed limit's 60. Do I get my money back?
No, because they changed the stadium. But if the stadium stayed the same or the road stayed the same.
The point is, the speed limit was what it was, still is actually in the NCAA when it comes to having advanced scouting. But back then with Ohio State and stuff, the speed limit was what it was. Now, do I like the way the actual investigation was conducted when evidence was pointed this way or the other and that maybe things weren't as bad as some people thought, and the NCAA just basically said, nah, we're going to go with what we think. No, I don't like that aspect of it. That was a committee on infractions that did that. They were bound and determined to hammer Ohio State in some form or fashion, and they definitely did.
It still sounds stupid today that we say games are vacated. Like, I swear – that Ohio State's basketball team with Scoonie Penn and Michael Redd went to the Final Four. I closed my eyes, and I think that they went.
Nope, got the flashy pen from MIB.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
you
can't remember. Of course they did. But you know what? Along the way, transgressions were done, and it is what it is. I mean,
I get what you're saying, Tim. I do. I appreciate your perspective on it. I just think we all – it seems silly when you're sitting on the other side of it.
You understand what I'm saying.
Oh, 100% I understand. Yes.
No, I'm just explaining – why these things happen the way they do. I'm not saying that whatever is right or wrong or the way I would do it, but the NCAA is the collection of schools. It is not.
That is true.
It is not Roger Goodell sitting up in New York City, New York, and making proclamations and rulings that usually more often than not favor the owners because that's who pays his That's who he works for.
Right. But Tim, we hide behind that NCAA thing. Like, you could easily go back, and I'm just reading that story off Channel 10, just saying the second game in 2010 was vacated due to NCAA sanctions. In essence, though, you could say it was vacated due to Ohio State sanctions because they are the NCAA, just like John Carroll is. Yeah, same thing.
And not only that, but you know, Ohio State ended up turning itself in for a lot of that stuff. I mean, there was very little dug up by the NCAA. It was all pretty much by the media and by Ohio State itself. So Ohio State, you know, for whatever term you want to use, played the good citizen or the responsible citizen in that situation and took his punishment. Flip side, the funny thing about all that, of course, is money still talks, right? Because they let those guys play in the Sugar Bowl against Arkansas.
Yeah, that's true. So, Good point.
Against Ryan Mallett in Arkansas, and they won that game. It was a great game. That wasn't vacated. So it's really funny when you think about it, that game wasn't vacated, but probably every other game in that season was. I'm sorry, man, you got me riled up.
I got you.
I've been hauling grout, limestone screenings all morning. So,
man,
good for you.
I'm overheating down here. I'm about to quit.
The legend Tim May.
Tim May never quits.
I can't quit. You know why? Because I'm part of a family, and you know, and I'm taking my responsibility. Seriously, the problem with this whole thing with Michigan last year, when everything came to light, is how much they tried to turn the onus on whoever or whatever mechanisms turned them in, instead of just stepping up and going, you know what, Connor Stallions cheated, because it looks like the NCAA probably thinks that, right? Although we haven't seen the notice of allegations, and ever since Michigan got the notice of allegations, you know, the tenor that's been coming out of there has been totally different. So we'll see if we ever get the final word on what all went down and what all is going to go down.
I got to tell you, if we don't start talking about the game yet, I'm going to start talking about how Jim Harbaugh should be suspended.
The Marshall game?
I'm going to start. I know. But I'm going to start talking about how Jim Harbaugh, I think, should be suspended from the NFL because Trussell was suspended from the Colts. Yeah, I'm telling you, you want to get me going, that's all you got to do is bring that
up. That's called precedent.
The legend, Tim May, joining us on the North Upstate Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, speaking of NCAA violations, do we need to worry about that after Charlie Huff offered Ohio State players the all-you-can-eat Tudor's biscuit deal? We have to worry about this?
I think what he threw out there was that's the kind of NIL deal they could be running into, if, you know, just throwing it out there like a neon sign, free biscuits, you know, if you decide to come out of the portal and land at Marshall. How come I'm forgetting where Marshall is?
West Virginia.
It's in West Virginia.
I know it's in West Virginia.
Huntington.
The city. Huntington.
Yeah.
If you want to just decide to land in Huntington. But everybody's neon sign is flashing brightly these days. So that wasn't out of the ordinary. I think it was pretty funny. Even Ryan Day thought it was pretty funny.
Mm.
You know why? There's two reasons. Because it was funny.
It was true.
He knows number two. None of his guys are going there for biscuits.
Oh man, you made me cough. That was so funny.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. No, you did.
Sounds like you're in a physical. Go ahead.
I've been coughing all day though. So listen, I'll get back to the Marshall game in a second. What'd you think about Adrian Wojnarowski leaving to go to St. Bonnie's to be a general manager? And how this position of general manager in college is like hot thing. Like Tim May, I'm surprised you're not the general manager of a major university right now.
Yeah. I think it's extremely interesting because anybody in our line of business, the media, and I grew up a huge, huge college football fan, but football fan.
They're coming for you. The Hawks are coming for you, Tim May. I can hear them in the background.
Exactly. Dude, you wouldn't believe the wildlife that goes through our property here from one night to the next. There was a coyote dying about a quarter mile from where I'm standing yesterday. Somebody must have put him out of his misery. I know I didn't. I wouldn't own a gun because I'm not against owning guns. I'm just against me owning a gun. but that's another story for another day. I got a good anecdote about that, but it's somber. Let's keep it.
All right, let's not go somber. Yeah, let's go.
But what did you ask, man?
About general manager, about Adrian Wojnarowski. I think you were going down the
I used to sit. And when I was a young man, and you know, occasionally I still do this. And I would doodle plays, you know, offensive plays. I would doodle offensive play schemes out of certain sets, you know, from two tight end to three tight end to to two backs, three backs, one back, shotgun, write them down the line. But I would each one of those notebooks, I would, you know, little flip notebooks, I would fill up with what you could run, and then what you could run off of that, and then what you could run off of that, and then you had a little motion and what you could run off of that, and how you could just you could run out of one formation and run 100 plays out of the one formation, you know. And so would I have liked to have seen that come to fruition with a good football team? Absolutely. I mean, Marshall's coming in here with an air raid offense and a really aggressive – how many guys have they got? Usually on a play, they only have two guys down on the defensive line. And we'll see if that changes a little bit against Ohio State as the game progresses. But they just – they don't have the personnel yet to run efficiently and consistently what they want to run, but you can see what they're thinking. You understand what I'm saying? But you still got to beat. It still comes down to the Jimmys and the Joes rather than the X's and O's. But, yeah, would I like to see some of my stuff run by certain teams? Yes.
Wow. Tim, we're out of time. I can't believe it. We flew by. Look out. That hawk is looking at you like lunch. So
yeah,
I just
worried about that hawk for you.
Yeah, we need you to get inside.
You know, it's one thing when buzzards are circling you.
Yeah.
But when hawks are circling you, that's a total different dynamic.
All right.
When buzzards are circling you, you probably don't know it because you've gone on.
That's true. I have cartoon. I have cartoon visions of you not being with us right now. So
hey,
for next week.
First
so
come the hawks, then come the buzzards.
Thank you, Tim May. Thank
See you, brother.
Talk to you later. Thank you. Make sure you check him out. Letterman Rowe. He is the legend, Tim May. Man, do we have to digress all the time on those interviews. Kevin Stefanski press conference coming up. Baskin and Phelps. We are standing by. We are waiting with bated breath on this Friday to see who's injured, who's not injured, or what the thoughts might be on Sunday's game against the New York Giants. And, you know, we always play this press conference for you. So the other thing we always do on Fridays before a game is quick predicts. It is a Cleveland tradition that we started 13 years ago, and you have always come out in full force for it. I know you love it. You enjoy it. It gives you a chance to be creative. But more than that, it gives us the opportunity to know whether you think the Browns are going to win or lose. So what we want you to do coming up at about 1:40 is we want you to call 216-474-0092 or hit us up on the X at CLE Talking Heads, and then you tell us the score of the Browns-Giants game. Please make sure you have the bigger score first, and then you give us the headline for Monday morning. So pretty simple. Give us a score, give us a headline, and it is quick predicts. It's not take an hour to explain everything. Just say it, get her done, tell your friends you're going to be on the air. It'll be very exciting. I'll probably make you the most popular person at your cookout tonight. So, or your I don't know, sitting around the campfire tonight or going
really
to watch high school football tonight. So all of those things. Dan, you know, as we do talk a little bit about this week's game, what is important for the Browns? How do you think the Browns win this game?
So this is one of those games that's always tough because you should beat the Giants. Like, I would love to come out here. Like, this is one of those games, like, it feels like last year's Arizona game where you're, like, walking in there and you're like, all right, how are we going to do this? Like, this should be an easy win. We should sleepwalk our way to the victory. That's how I feel about this Giants game. Like, you should beat the Giants. Cover Malik Nabers. Let Daniel Jones beat himself. Let him throw interceptions. They're going to try to run the ball. They won't be able to do it because they let Saquon Barkley go for reasons we all can't totally figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense of the Giants is good. Like, it's not a train wreck or anything like that. But, you know, it's not like an all-world defense or anything in between there. Like, these games are so hard because you get so pumped. Like, we got so pumped for week one. We got so pumped for Trevor week two. And in this one, it's like, all right, here comes Daniel Jones. So, yeah, cover Malik Nabers. Outside of that, let everybody else do their darndest.
Yeah, I just think the Browns need to find themselves in a position where the offense can get moving. I do think it's big deal if Jack Conklin can play. If they could just get one of their tackles back, I think it makes a difference. If you get both of them, then I really feel like it's going to make a difference because, you know, those times that Deshaun Watson has been staring at the sky, you have to wonder, well, what does the offensive line look like?
All right, our injury report, which is brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZers.com to get your free consultation. Injury report, Jack Conklin is questionable. Jedrick Wills, questionable. David Njoku is out. Pierre Strong is out.
All right, so one more time. Out is who?
David Njoku, Pierre Strong. Jack Conklin, questionable. Also, Jedrick Wills, questionable.
I don't know. The last 2 weeks we've gone through this, and at game time I've always thought that I thought that Jack was going to play. Like last week, and it was just listening to all the people that you kind of know would know, people that are out there at practice, and you know he keeps pushing, and I really felt like it was – I'm sure they knew before they came to the stadium last week, but it felt like a game-time decision last week. I got to believe this is a true game-time decision this week on him. He's got to be close, right? I mean, it's a long road, especially from the injury that he suffered and, you know, the repairs that they had to do to get him back on the field. But it just feels like he gets closer and closer and closer and closer, and you would hope that this week is the week. So that offensive line is just it hasn't been what we've seen it in the past, but that's because of injury and inexperience. And if they're going to be able to come through on this, they're going to have to absolutely have that offensive line be intact as we get farther along down the road. And then you start entering into these games against the AFC North. I always want to say AFC Central. I don't know why I'm flashing back today, but AFC North.
Yeah, we'll see when it comes to the AFC North. We will have Kevin Safansky for you ASAP. A couple of things going on in the background. We will have it for you as once he is done, we will spin that for you as quick as possible.
Okay, so yep. We will still have quick predicts then, right?
Yes, we will still do quick predicts. Everything good there.
Okay.
Look, this feels like, do you have any indication that this is any kind of a trap game? Like, I was told a long time ago that there's, in every single NFL season.
I feel
season,
like every game, I mean, you could say, you virtually could, I respect the Giants a little bit more because you know they're going to get a win, right? And the question is it going to be against the Browns? There's just something about the way they played at home last year after losing to the Ravens and how they defended their own house after that. I thought that was important. I think that's important going into this game. I think the crowd is going to be extremely riled up for Sunday, especially because you know, you're talking about inducting Phil Dawson into the Legends Club. You're talking about Jim Donovan, the first non-player ever. I was just watching a video online where the two of those guys were talking, and I do think those are the kind of things that inspire the crowd. How many times have you heard Kevin Stefanski doesn't talk about a lot of things with passion. I'm not trying to say without passion, but you know what he looks like in the locker room when he's talking to the team afterwards. I do know that when he talks about trying to get the fans there early and trying to make a difference, like I think that's legit. I think there's a lot of times you'll hear coaches go, "Well, we got to get there early. The fans got." I think Kevin sees a genuine value in what a loud stadium can be, especially for your defense. And so I think you're going to have that. I think fans are going to be excited. I, you know, as far as I know, that game's still planned for halftime, that they're going to do an alumni game for flag football at halftime. Those are all things that get the fans going. I love our fans, man.
Yes, and that is a huge part of this. But the only reason I look at it this way is I don't think the Giants are as bad as we
I don't think they are either.
I don't think that they're
especially the way folks were talking at the beginning of the week. Like, I think the Browns are winning. I just don't – it's not going to be a blowout.
Right.
Like, I think a team – you know, if the Browns can get to 21, it's not even 21. It's three touchdowns. Like, you know, so if something goes haywire after the touchdown, that's fine. But they need to get to three. I mean, like, Deshaun's got to throw a couple touchdown passes.
It would be nice. It would be really nice to see the offense just click and go absolutely nuts. It's just one of those things – that I always remember somebody telling me, which is every time you look at a schedule, there is one game that you're supposed to lose that you win.
I know.
And there is one game that you're supposed to win that you lose. And so that's the only thing when I look at the schedule, it's like, okay, is this maybe the game that you're supposed to win that you lose?
Well, on paper, you could have said the Browns could have lost last week. On paper.
Right.
Jim is in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
What's happening, Jim?
Hey, guys. Before I get into it, do we know who's busting up the guitar yet?
No, they haven't announced that one yet.
It might be
Phil Dawson. I have no idea.
I think the crowd would go absolutely nuts if it was Jim Donovan, but I don't know if that's going to be possible.
It was neat to see him. Go watch the video. I thought it was really neat to see the conversation between Jim and Phil. So,
Now comes my argument. Andy, listen, everybody on your station keeps saying this. Well, if we get our two tackles back. Listen, I listen to all you guys.
Okay, go ahead.
I listened to all you guys all off. We've got three tackles. How do you keep DeJuan Jones on the bench? And now all of a sudden he's a backup that we have to get replaced with a guy coming off injury. I just, look, I'm more worried about Joel Bitonio getting bashed into the backfield on too many plays. I start to worry about him maybe getting up there in age, because if you guys look at our running game, look, the tackles have obviously not been great, especially on the outside pass rush. But our guards, our middle of our line has been getting blown back into the backfield. That's where the concern lies for me, not so much with these guys on the outside. Now, if I could get one of the tackles back and get James him out of there, that would help. But I just think when you say both of our we're playing with two back. And I know maybe you didn't mean it, but I've heard that over and over.
Here's
and over
what I'm again. Saying. Here's the difference, and this is where I'm getting at. That at least one of those guys may give Deshaun Watson a fraction of a second more, and that might be all he needs. Does that make sense? Like, I just feel like things are collapsing awful fast. Okay. And part of it is, I mean, Deshaun drives me crazy when he hangs on to the ball too long. So maybe if he's hanging on as long as he needs to and he's got a little bit of veteran support up front, that could be the difference in the game. That's my big point there. And I'm not expecting both these guys to be back.
Look, moving James Hudson out of there, look, he truly is a backup. That will help a ton. But, I mean, the Browns have been doing a ton of stuff. They've been playing a lineman in there at fullback for a lot. At least they did a lot last week. So, I mean, they're adjusting to not having him out there. But you're right. It will make a huge difference. But from what it sounds like, if Coughlin sounds like he's the closer one, and you're going to be playing somewhat out of position at left tackle.
Yeah.
I know. But you know what I mean? How did we get to the point, by the way, where like, we have three tackles? Well, if only one of them is really naturally a left tackle, then I don't think we have three tackles. We have, you know what I mean, we have two that can play one position and only one guy that can play that left side. That's concerning, you know, as you get into it, you start finding this stuff out. But
right.
That's my only bone of contention is I hate when people say that, because I think it's like letting the Browns off the hook somewhat with their mistakes. So that's that.
Jim, I appreciate it. Look, my thing is with this is it's so hard. Like, I know that they knew Jedrick Wills was banged up and he was coming off of surgery and all that kind of stuff, and Jack Conklin was coming off of it as well. Would you have liked to have somebody better than James Hudson? Sure. That would be nice. But you can't pay everybody. Like, you can't just turn around and hand out boatloads of cash to whatever tackle you think to come cover yourself. Not to mention, some of those guys are getting more money than you have, mixed with the fact that a lot of those guys want opportunity.
Right.
So it's like, yes, would you have felt better if it was James Hudson, or would you have felt better if it was fourth round rookie X? Like, okay, probably even, maybe lean toward James Hudson. Like, that's where I understand it when it comes to the offensive line side. The thing Jim said about Joel Bitonio might be the quiet, like, thing that we all don't want to talk about, is that he's getting pushed around a little bit. And I would love to live in a world where he is not getting pushed around in that way. But at least through two games, he's getting pushed around a little more than we all want to say out loud.
All right, we are going to do quick predicts when we come back. Stand by. We will do that for you. You're going to tell us the score of the game on Sunday and the headline. That's quick predicts, 216-474-0092.